you, Ellen Robert. Thank you very much. Like Mr. Robert said, that'd be a great time to get those outlines out. I'd like you to have that with you as we continue to study these one-on-one conversations that Jesus had. Someone asked me as I traveled this week, and what I do for a living and if I enjoy it. So I told them that I was the pastor of a happy, healthy little church. He asked me more about my duties. Explain, what do you do there? So, what do you spend your time on? So I said, well, the majority of my work week consists of going to the Bible and diligently unpacking a passage of Scripture. And after I kind of take it all in, then I craft an explanation of that passage. And I try to craft it in a way that makes it very understandable. People understand it, they can understand the Bible. I also like to craft it in a way that is enjoyable for people to learn. And in a way that inspires listeners to desire to actually live out the words of the Bible, live out God's instructions. That's what I do. He said, "Do you enjoy that?" I said, "Well, my answer to him was, there is no vocation for me that I could feel more enthused about or more energized in doing in the entire world." I said, "I love the challenge of Sunday morning going to my Microsoft Word document and seeing that empty page in front of me, and heading into next week's sermon. I love it. I love the anticipation that God will somehow speak to my heart over that week-long message build. I love the fact that I'm going to have this time with God, interacting with God over that week. And I love stepping up to this, my pulpit. I love my pulpit, which was made for me as a gift, and I love it. I love stepping up there on Saturday night. And the reason I do is because I truly believe that what I do, I told him what I do, I feel I truly believe that it offers people help, it offers them hope, it offers them happiness. Now when I finished that explanation and I heard it myself, I felt like I had just given the most flowery, extravagant, and rosiest answer any pastor has ever given. I mean, I was waiting for the clouds to part, the peace of sunshine to go raining down on me with lollipops and red rainbows and unicorns floating around me. But I realized what had happened, why my exuberance was the way it was. What was happening in my heart was just so joyous. And here's why, because everything I told him was 100% true. That's true. That's how I feel about it. The second thing that made my heart jump is my inquisitive friend had caught me in a study that we will see tonight that is one of the most happy passages and conversations that Jesus could ever have. And I love being with the happy stuff. And the third thing is he caught me. I had just finalized and I had just sent my text to you, my studio audience. Now, before I start blubbering, before I start crying, let's dive right in. Okay? Let's just go because there's already starting, and I think, thank you, Ms. Sarah, Mr. Mark, thank you, or one of those issues there. I think we're okay now. I think I got through the rough part. Okay, Luke chapter 18, we're going to start at verse 35. We're really looking to get to 19. You can't get to 19 unless you look at this section of 18. Because that's really where it started. Sometimes the breaks that are in the Bible, the chapter breaks, confuse us a little bit. They weren't there originally, but this is going to help. 18:35 of Luke. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. Now when this blind beggar heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked, "What's happening?" And they told him that Jesus, the Nazarene, was going by. So he began shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" "Oh, be quiet," the people in front yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" Now when Jesus heard him, he stopped, and he ordered the man to be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," he said, "I want to see." And Jesus said, "All right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God. And all who saw it praised God too. Jesus entered Jericho, made his way through the town. There was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a good look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, and he climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name, "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Well, Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus then stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor." Half his wealth to the poor. "Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." And scripture. Okay, I'm sure you caught what's going on here. I'm sure that's pretty understandable, but let's make sure we're all on the same page. Jesus is going to Jericho. People are starting to gather around him as he's heading to Jericho. There's a blind man outside of the town, just outside of town. He hears Jesus is coming, so he starts yelling. Jesus has that man brought to him. Jesus heals him. He gets his sight. Fanfare keeps up. They now all go marching into the city. They go into the city. But inside the city, there is a chief tax collector that we're going to talk about. And he wants to get a look at Jesus. They said he's short, so he climbs up a sycamore tree. Jesus gets under the tree. And as Jesus can do, reading people's thoughts, reading people's minds, knowing what no one else knows, calls him by name. He says, "Come on in. Go to your house tonight. We're going to your house. You're going to feed me." And he's like, "Yeah." So, little guy runs with Jesus, you know. And guess what? That changes. Gives away half of his wealth to the poor. Just gives away. And then it says, "If I cheat anybody, they're getting four times as much." That's where we're at. Now, there's some very important points to notice here in this story. This is a very important message that God is trying to convey to us. So let's start with who and what Zacchaeus was. I say Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, just bear with me, I'm getting a little tripped up on it. The passage does not come around and say this, not directly, but the information here shows us very clearly. Zacchaeus is a man without a country, basically. He's a man, I better put this way, point one. Zacchaeus is a man without a community. Doesn't have a community. Friends, everybody wants a place where they belong. A place where they are wanted. Everybody wants a place where people are happy to see them. Everybody wants a place where they themselves, they can contribute and where they are valued to be part of that group. Everybody wants a place where they can receive love, a place where they can receive help, companionship, you name it. We look for it. And guess what? Zacchaeus didn't have it. Zacchaeus did not have that. Zacchaeus was Jewish. his Jewish community did not accept him. To them, he was a turncoat. To them, Zacchaeus was an enemy sympathizer. He was a cohort and a supporter of the oppression that is holding Israel back from being the great nation that Jehovah had called them to be. To these fellow Jews, Zacchaeus' wealth was all dirty money. Money he had collected for the Romans out of the pockets of the hard-working, barely scrimping by Jewish brothers and sisters. And Zacchaeus, they said, was a chief tax collector. That means he was the leader of many tax collectors. To the Jews, Zacchaeus was the right-hand man of the autocrats, the oppressors, the tormentors. Zacchaeus was a forerunner of the sheriff of Nottingham, robbing from the poor to give to the rich. And in this process, Zacchaeus made his own personal life a very cushy one. I can imagine the kind of guy he sounds like, the kind of guy that if he was on the sinking Titanic, he would disguise himself as a woman, and he would be holding a sack of potatoes like it was a baby to save himself. Bottom line is, Zacchaeus' Jewish community hated him. Gang, I hate to do it, but it's in the Bible. The Bible mentions it, and I don't want to leave it out. We got to look, and this is a character study of Zacchaeus. You got to look. Zacchaeus had a look. He had a look that probably didn't help matters. It has to do with his stature. I know it sounds terrible, but in the human race, even in the first century human nature, it's going to factor in. Zacchaeus was the complete opposite of what we saw in the Old Testament, the imposing King Saul, who stood head and shoulders above every other man. No, that's not Zacchaeus. He was a runt. And although you and I know physical appearance means nothing, you can bet that the Jews who had been ripped off by him, okay, he'd been ripped off, he's a little guy, and then he's a sellout. You can imagine that they had been disrespected by this diminutive Zacchaeus, and you know that they had probably some interesting names for him. I can imagine. In my Bible study, like Nugget. I tell you, they probably made fun size. They probably went up to fight with that guy, said, oh, there's a troll. Or I like the coffee table. Probably said, Squeak or Stumpy. I'm just saying, there's no difference in first century people than there are from where they are now. Yet, Westbridge, when it comes to belonging, Zacchaeus was not accepted among his Jewish nation. You know that about it. And how about let's talk with the Romans? He's working for them. Well, as for the Romans, Zacchaeus was a minority. He had inferior heritage to them. He had a bizarre belief system if he was a Jew. Matter of fact, Oxford historian Martin Goodman, he writes this: Jews could never again realistically hope to live in the Roman Empire with the same freedom as the other minorities, to practice their ancestral customs and worship their God in their own land. Zacchaeus wasn't wanted by the Jews, and he was never going to be accepted by the Romans. He was a man alone. So Zacchaeus made a life and a world for himself. He fought to fill his need for community with something else. He fought to fill his desire for happiness with anything else, and his craving fought to fill his craving for fulfillment with everything else. But it wasn't working. It wasn't working for him. And that leads us to the second observation. Gay, in a most unexpected fashion, point two, Zacchaeus was willing to look at himself, and he was willing to admit the truth. Now, I want to say this is the most important part. That is the most important part of a person's rescue. I can't say that. I can't say this is the most important part, because there are some other just as important parts that will follow this honest reflection, this admitting to the truth to yourself, and being willing to look at yourself. But allow me to say this.
Zacchaeus' willingness to look at himself and his willingness to admit the truth about his life and his actions, well, that's the most important part, okay? That's just it. I'm going to go with that, because that's good. Zacchaeus then realizes that the truth that he has a need. He has a need. He realizes that there's a problem, and he has that problem. He realizes, and he admits to himself, there is something wrong in his life. And gang, it takes guts. It takes real guts to admit all that to yourself. What is so cool about this story, this conversation, right, is that Zacchaeus is not someone that you would think would admit that he has any kind of need at all. Zacchaeus is not someone at the end of his financial rope. He's not. He is not down and out. Zacchaeus is not at the bottom of his barrel. No, we are told he is rich. And rich people aren't usually the ones who run to God admitting need. But he still has a hole in his life, and he is willing to admit it to himself. So even the rich, they have it. Maybe Zacchaeus felt unfulfilled. Maybe Zacchaeus felt incomplete. Maybe he felt dissatisfied or lonely or looking for answers to very deep questions. Or maybe he was just not happy. We don't know. But what we do know is he did something about it. It's interesting. You know, in all our effort at Westridge Community Church to seek and save those who are lost, we tend to think that people have to reach the bottom of their barrel in life before they'll turn to God. Prodigal son story. We understand that scenario. But gang, no matter where people are at in their life, they could be searching for God. You can find someone successful. This guy was successful. And you've got it. Well, you may find someone down and out. They need God. You may find someone very happy. Still need God. Find someone very nice, kind, wholesome. They still need God. Everyone is lost. Everyone. Everyone has a God need. It all comes down to this all-important question. Are you looking? Are you willing to do the scary job of evaluating your life honestly? Jesus was looking for people who were willing to search their hearts and go on a journey into themselves. People who say, there's got to be more to life than this. More than I'm living. There's got to be more than what I've done and got to this point. There's got to be. Jesus promises those kind of people who are seeking like that. Jesus says in Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 8, for everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And him who knocks, the door will be opened. Zacchaeus was done settling for the life he had built that left him wanting. And he was asking. He was seeking. And he was not there. Gang, let me ask you, have you felt the stirring deep down inside that says, there's got to be more to life than this? Zacchaeus was not willing to settle for the status quo. He ran after the crowd that was with Jesus, the crowd that seemed to have found the missing piece. He went after that. The crowd that had just seen the blind man get his sight back. They had just seen that. They're now marching alongside Jesus, singing, thank you very much. Thank you. They're quiet. They got it going on. And then as they're marching through town, something truly surprising happens. This little rich man who was on a mission to investigate Jesus, climbs a sycamore tree for a chance to see Jesus. You got to think about this now. Is this climb dignified for chief tax collector? The answer would be no. With the people looking up his robes, hardly dignified.
side. You can't. Is this clown hilarious? Do all the Jews have given those terrible names that we talked about? We know that day, right? Was this hilarious to them? Probably. But was that climb of that tree life-changing?
Yes.
Indubitably. Point three. Zacchaeus would not be dissuaded. Zacchaeus would not be dissuaded. If it were 100 miles, little Zacchaeus needed to run, he probably would have run. If it were a sea that little bobber of a man needed to cross, he was going to cross it. If it were a tree he needed to climb, we already know, he would climb it. Zacchaeus would be willing to do anything to get to Jesus Christ. It doesn't surprise me that of all the people Jesus could have invited himself to dinner to, Jesus chose the guy so anxious to see him, he would climb a tree to get to him. Friends, this is truly one of the happiest sections of Scripture. Jesus' visit to Jericho has shown us back-to-back seekers who are looking for and are fighting to get to their rescuer. First, the blind man screaming on the street to get to Jesus, and now Zacchaeus scrambling up a sycamore tree to see the Savior. My guess is Jesus could be nothing but pleased by that kind of desire and that kind of hunger for him. Let me ask you, are you a tree climber? What I mean is this. What is your level of effort? What is your level of effort to get to Jesus? Do you make a climb each day to be with Jesus in prayer and in Bible reading? Do you climb a tree weekly? Every week, climb that tree so that you do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Hebrews 10:24-25. Do you read about him in books? Do you climb that tree? Do you study about him? Even listen to radio programs? Do you talk about him in groups? Do you think about Jesus throughout the day? Do you climb that tree and think about him? Do you thank him all day long? Do you lean on him? Do you call on him? And do you obey him? Again, there are a lot of trees that we climb to get to Jesus. The question is, are we climbing? So, Zacchaeus had gotten up the tree, and it was a very strategic choice of tree indeed. As Jesus' entourage, including his now seeing blind man, come marching right under the sycamore tree Zacchaeus is up in. Jesus stops, looks up, and addresses Zacchaeus by name. Back to the Bible. When Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be a guest in your home." Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck, delighted to take Jesus home with him. You have got to love Jesus here. He says to Zacchaeus, "Lucky you, Zacchaeus. You get to have me over to your house." And Zacchaeus' response is, "Yeah! There's nothing I would like more." Now, I need to know, Westbridge, this is the appropriate response. Whenever a spiritual leader or a pastor wants to joyous Jews. Jews who have been part of this happy, joyous processional quickly lose that joy. Quickly lose it. They stop singing. Why? What happened to thank you very much? Why did it stop? Well, because Jesus is befriending a man that the Jews had disowned. A man that faithful Jews didn't believe was worthy to interact with the Messiah. You're not worthy. Who gave this guy a golden ticket? He gets to meet the most coveted, the most highly sought after, the most righteous, and the most Jewish holy man there ever was. Look at him. 24. Jesus' arms stretched wider than ours. Somewhere, Westbridge, somewhere in our heart, we all tend to reach a limit as to when a person is just too far gone or has become someone who you really just don't want or can't see getting a home next to yours in heaven. Be honest, you can admit there are people you know who make you want to pat God on the back for allowing her to be a lake of fire as an eternal destination. I'm with you on. This is certainly what was in the hearts of these now shell-shocked parade watchers who are witnessing Israel's beloved and long-awaited Messiah, the healer. They're watching him headed to tax the River Stillskin's house. You're going in. I like how it's happening. That's the River Stillskin's house. I told you I was having a good time this week. But gang, Jesus' forgiveness isn't just about wiping a few smudges off of the shiny armor of a few devout Israelites. Jesus is offering wholesale change to even the most unlikely candidates.
Amen.
The lesson here is this. We may be walking under some sycamore trees this week, and we may be missing the Zacchaeuses that have climbed up there if we're not careful. We can probably all think of a person who has no interest in change, a person who has no interest in God, a person who has no interest in what you have to say about Jesus. At least that's what we think. But maybe, just like those shocked Jewish people who were dancing up a storm, maybe that person is feeling the same void in their heart that Zacchaeus was feeling, but hadn't talked about and didn't show. Westbridge, this week, God may be saying for you to open your arms wider because a shocker is coming your way. God may be saying, look around you because there may be a Zacchaeus. There very well may be a Zacchaeus who has strategically placed themselves where they can better witness you in your joy, your hope, your confidence. God may be saying, don't count that person out. That person you have long ago stuck a fork in and said, that was done. Don't count them out. Keep your eyes and hearts open, Westbridge, because we did not happen upon this passage by chance. And look what happens to Zacchaeus. Back to the Bible. Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man, talking to the Jews, this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Jesus declares to all the people that Zacchaeus is indeed a true son of Abraham, a real and validated member of God's chosen people. In point one, We saw that Zacchaeus was a man without a community, an outcast who has chosen a course of life for himself that led to Pittsville. But Zacchaeus shows the world, you, me, everybody, that there is a way to climb up a sycamore tree and back into the hearts and the community of the people of Israel, and even more so, it is a climb to eternal life. A climb into the family of God. Friends, God, let us this passage tonight, because there may be a Zacchaeus that he wants you to be mindful of this week. Someone you thought, not that. God's here. That was. Friends, it's easy to be deterred. It's easy to be deterred, and it may even feel awkward and a climate tree. But God is never wanting us to be dissuaded from what he wants us to do. If God has a job for us, do it. Keep your eyes open. And friends, you may be listening tonight because maybe you need to be honest with yourself. Maybe you need to be honest about your life. Maybe you have been asking, is there more to life than what I've found? Well, come on down. Christ wants to have supper with you. As the band returns, what should you consider? Where am I at in my relationship with Jesus Christ? Where am I at? Have I stepped over the threshold? Have I taken that opportunity to open the door of my house and Jesus, come on in. I want dinner with you. I want you in. I am the luckiest guy in town because you want to have dinner with me. Amen. We saw back when we studied Nicodemus, you have to have that point in your life where you step in. You step in to Jesus. Your arms are open, you take them. Yes, I've sinned. Lord, I need you to forgive me with what you did on the cross. And I will confess you with my mouth right now. I will tell you, you are my Savior. I need you. Zacchaeus found what he was looking for. Thank you very much. Let's worship together. Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful broadcast. Thank you, Lord. We love what you are doing, and I pray that you would continue to lead us forward. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to come together and worship you, even like this over the airwaves. And Lord, I pray that what we learned will be something that changes us, something that you use to advance your kingdom. Lord, I thank you that your love never changes. That same love that looked up that tree and called that man down and called him right into eternal life is the same love that's looking at us. And I pray that we would respond the way you want us to. Now, Lord, keep your hand upon us as we travel through the weekdays. Thank you for this incredible night where we can be with our friends and family online. And Lord, we pray that you continue to lead us forward. We will leave ourselves in your hands, though it's the best place to be. Use us. Use us to advance your kingdom. Make our lives something that matter. And Lord, I do pray that we would take the lead of Zacchaeus and say, you know what? I had more to life than this.